Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're all doing well. Man, I did not imagine that the first time that I'd be speaking on a Sunday morning that it would be looking at a camera. And so I hope that you're all doing great, that you're warm and comfy at home. I joked that I was going to post on our social media this week that we were having a pajama party, which is funny because you could be in your pajamas, and that's great. Well, if we haven't met before, my name is Bradley Schnitzlein. I've been a part of the leadership at Life for the last couple of years, and I'm really excited about what God's been doing at our church and in my personal life as well. Now, as you can imagine, my life's been kind of flipped upside down the last couple of weeks. I work at a middle school, and so things have been a little bit different. I actually am not a contract employee. I'm paid by the day, and so normally, if I don't work, then I don't get paid. And as you can imagine, I haven't been working much. And so I spent a considerable amount of time focusing on working with my school district to make sure that I receive pay during this time. Just kind of a stressful situation. One of my favorite things in life is doing youth ministry. Man, I love meeting with our youth on Wednesday nights and talking about Jesus and just doing life with them, but that's not happening either. My wife's been working from home, and my beautiful year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, Josie, is at home with us, too. And about five times a day, Josie goes, and she stands in front of the door to the stairs, and she really wants mommy. She cries, and I have to try to convince her, like, you don't need mommy right now, you're fine. Amanda and I were just about to take our first vacation, probably, I don't know, 8 years, this coming June. Now it seems like that's probably not going to happen. Life is tough. This is not what I was expecting to happen right now. It's hard not to focus on the uncertainty ahead. And all these changes have me wondering, well, what am I supposed to do now? How as a Christian should I function? How as a member of the kingdom of God am I supposed to act when things start to fall apart, when things get tough? And that's what I want to talk about today. So let's pray as we begin. Holy Spirit, I just invite your presence. God, I thank you that you're good. And God, that you've created us to be your people, that you love us, and God, that you've called us to extend your kingdom to the corners of the earth. Thank you that you're good. Let all of this be about you. Amen. Well, perhaps you're like me and maybe you haven't been able to work, or maybe you even own a business that's unable to operate, or maybe just unable to make profits. Maybe you're a little bit stressed because everyone is in the house at the same time and they're driving you crazy. Introverts, I'm feeling for you out there. Maybe your kids are restless and running around everywhere. And speaking of kids, all of a sudden you're learning how to be a teacher because you don't want to find any holes in their education later on. Maybe you live alone and you're unable to connect with others. And it's just been really hard. It's safe to say that we've all reached a tough time. And for the first time in most of our lives, we've reached that tough time together. We're all in it at the same time. Now, tough times aren't new, right? When we've all had tough times before, we've had families fall apart, jobs lost, loved ones lost, health problems, relational problems. I mean, who knows what we've had them. We've had them. And in any tough time, quarantine or otherwise, I think we ask these questions. Why me and what do I do now? Now, we've all heard the question before, why do bad things happen to good people? Or let me say it a different way. Why do we have tough times if God loves us? And that's a great question, and I want to tell you exactly why. The reason is that the kingdom isn't fully here yet. Now, if you've been a part of our church for any amount of time, you've heard the phrase, the now and the not yet. Greg actually taught on it recently. He gave us the theological term, and it's enacted, inaugurated eschatology. Now, here's what that means. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom with him, right? We hear John the Baptist saying before Jesus even started his ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, our assumption there is that when Jesus comes, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan is going to end. And that the kingdom of God is going to take over, and that the rule and reign of God on earth was going to be in full control. But God had an unexpected plan. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." The deal is that until Jesus returns, we live in tension. The kingdom's here, but it's not fully here. The kingdom is God's rule and reign on earth. The blind see, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. We see visions, we have dreams, and we prophesy. And it's amazing. But the thing is, Satan's not gone yet. We still have pain. We still have hard times. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the next time someone asks you, well, why do bad things happen to good people? You can just tell them. It's enacted, inaugurated eschatology. Or you could just show them this picture. That might help a little bit more. So there you have it. You guys, the not yet is happening all around us right now. The tension you feel from the kids learning at home or from working at home or from shuffling your remaining funds to try to make it through this weird time, all of that is the not yet. That's why we experience any tough time. Now the second question is, well, what am I supposed to do now? Matthew 6, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is our calling as God's people. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. When bad things happen, we spend too much time focused on the bad things. I mean, I definitely do. I caught myself doing it tons the last couple of weeks. I mean, honest, raise your hand if you just spent a ton of time the last couple of weeks just thinking about all of these crazy problems. Okay, now be honest. Did you just raise your hand? Because I can't see you. All I can see is the camera. You can put your hand down. Seriously, though, when bad things happen and our survival mode kicks in, we just really start thinking about ourselves. We think about the difficulty that we have. We obsess over every problem. Sometimes we complain or even we sin in our discomfort. When bad things happen, we just really aren't the best at following God's plan. But he told us exactly what to do. I love how James says it at the beginning of his book. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Again, we see, when we focus in on God, when we seek the kingdom, all of our needs get met. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, I came across this really weird problem. And it's been quite a while since I've given a full message, but I don't ever remember having this problem before. And here was the problem. Every time I opened the Bible to think in, to focus on this topic, it seemed like I would end up in a new place and I would think, man, maybe I should focus on this teaching, or maybe I should go this direction because of what this chapter says. And it was like, it was almost just funny because it was like, by the time it was all said and done, I probably opened like half the books of the New Testament and read a couple of chapters in each. And then it finally hit me. The reason that I'm struggling is because Jesus taught us the same thing over and over and over again. We seek first the kingdom of God, and how do we do that? Well, when someone asks Jesus, well, what's the most important thing? What's the greatest commandment? What does he say? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I mean, that makes sense, right? When I think seek the kingdom, that's exactly what I think. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't done. Someone asks him for the greatest commandment, and he gives two. The second is like it, he says. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says everything hangs on these two things. And so when someone says, God, what should I do? The answer is simple. Jesus says, love God, love people. Now, I tried to find the verse that says, like, love God and love people unless times are really tough, and then you can, like, focus on loving yourself and then get back to that later. But it turns out that verse doesn't exist, and so I think we're actually supposed to love God and love people all the time. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. It's as if John's saying, like, you guys, I've been saying the same thing over and over and over again. This is the message that I've been telling you from the beginning. Later in verse 16, he continues, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You guys, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. It's everywhere. John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Philippians 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. One more, okay? Ephesians 5. Make the most of these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't John right on? For this is the message that I've been telling you. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You know, I think it's time as Christians that we recognize that we're a part of the most powerful kingdom, the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be sitting around waiting to see what the kingdoms of the world do. We should roll up our sleeves and go be the people God's called us to be. Now listen, I'm not saying that you don't have responsibilities and you don't have stuff to take care of. We all do. I mean, I have to take care of my daughter every day. I can't just be like, I'm going to go in the corner and pray. Whatever she does, right? But is it possible that when things get really tough, we seek the kingdom maybe second or third or fourth or fifth or tenth? The Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. How many of us have chosen this time to dive into the Word? What an amazing opportunity we have to just refresh, renew our, refocus our commitment to God's Word. If you're a regular attender of our church and you're a part of our Facebook group, just this week I posted in there about the Dwell app, and they're giving it away for the next 60 days for free. And so anyone who's a regular attender or a part of our church can go click on that link and you can get the Dwell app. And it's probably the best audio Bible out there. You can choose different voices and there's all these different plans. What a great way to reconnect with the Word. We have an opportunity to do that right now. I 100% think that we should be praying at all times. But man, I'm sure that if you have a lot of people in your house, you could use the time alone anyway. Why not go into a room, close the door, and just pray? Just pray. Focus in on what God's saying and what He's doing. Man, maybe pray the Lord's Prayer. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. We're praying that the kingdom of God would be advanced. We should be doing that. When I read that verse, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. Did that sound like you? Are you experiencing great joy right now? I know that seems really crazy, you guys. I know. No one is at home saying like, yay, like I get to spend another day inside, right? But let me change your perspective for just a second here. Look at the opportunity that we have to reveal the love of the Father to the world. Look at this opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that we should celebrate that there's people out there with needs, but I'm saying that we should celebrate that we have the opportunity to fill those needs, and we should be filling them. Let me ask you this. Has your focus the last couple weeks been on how hard this experience has been? Has it been weighing you down? Or have you been focused on that opportunity, the opportunity that we have to do good? Which of those two things really puts the kingdom of God first? Which one? We have countless opportunities to do this, you guys. We can love on our families, especially since we're spending so much time in the house with them. I mean, man, we have this great opportunity to really think through, you know, what are my spouse's needs? How can I love on them? What are my kids' needs? We have the opportunity to love on our families who may be far away, you know, like, man, I should be calling them every day because I have all this time at home, and so why not? Or even if you're not feeling like you have a lot of time, man, that personal connection is a powerful thing and we all need it. Have you reached out to friends who you know tend to be anxious or maybe tend to be lonely? People who maybe live alone. Are you reaching out to them? And I'm not saying that even once is enough. I mean, you can be calling these people every day. You don't have to leave the house to extend the kingdom of God. I think that we should be at home and we should be being safe as much as we can. But are you making phone calls to parents and grandparents or maybe other people who are at a higher risk? Maybe they're feeling anxious. Are you providing personal connection to all of the people that you normally encounter in life? Are you helping them out in that way? You know, at some point, we're going to have to go to the grocery store. We're starting to run low on our supplies here, and so we're going to have to make the trek soon. Would you call your neighbors before you make that trek? Especially ones who, you know, maybe are more afraid to leave the house? What a powerful message it would send to call neighbors, maybe even ones you're not super close to, ones that are like, do I have their number? Do they know I have their number? Right? I have some neighbors like that, but would you consider reaching out to those people and just saying, I'm going to the store. Is there anything that I can pick up for you? You know, our leadership team is in the process of calling every member of our church, everybody who calls Life Home. If you haven't got a phone call already, you should be getting one from one of our leaders soon. Because that's what it looks like to be the kingdom of God. That's what it looks like to love people. When we focus first on the kingdom of God, all of our needs get met. Focusing first on the kingdom means putting God first and putting people at a close second. That's our calling. We're part of the largest kingdom out there, the kingdom of God. We carry the power of the King through the Holy Spirit, and we have great opportunities. Are you feeling anxious or worried or annoyed or frustrated or confused? That's okay, but I want you to know this. If you set it all aside and you put God first, He's going to meet every one of those needs. Put God first, put people first, and focus in on being the kingdom of God. And all of your needs are going to get met. What would it be like if Christians really took charge? If every one of us just set our needs aside and focused in, if we became outward focused, imagine what the news articles could be saying. You know, Christians deliver toilet paper to doorsteps all over town. Anyone who's unable to leave their house only needs to call the church that's closest to them to get any need that they have met. These are the opportunities that we have to be the kingdom, and we should be out there doing it. Now, I'm not wanting anyone to feel guilty. In fact, what I want to do is let you know that we have an opportunity right now, and that opportunity is still going. And it's easy to become inward focused, but God's called us to be outward focused, to focus on Him, to focus on people. And I want us to go do it. I want us to make a difference because that's who we are. And when we do that, your spirit comes alive and you're able to do all of the things that you need to do, and every one of your needs gets met. Let's go out there and do it. Let me pray for us. Hey God, I just thank you that you've created us. God, that we're your perfect creation and that you use us to extend your kingdom. God, that we have so many opportunities to do all of these things. And I just pray that we would have great joy in doing them. God, that we would leave, we're not going anywhere, but when we would end this live stream, Father, that we would feel encouraged and excited to do all of the things that we can do. Thank you so much that you're good. Amen.